the Saviour's name, we pray that the Lord will bless each one of us as we're found in his house this morning. And to those online as well, we welcome you wherever you're tuning in from. And we pray that the Lord will bless you and encourage your heart as you gather with us around the Word of God. I do remember the services as they continue, both throughout today and the incoming week. We remind you of the afternoon service over in Auchnacloy, on behalf of Auchnacloy Church at 3:30. And the Reverend Anderson will be undertaking that service. And if you can get along to support our brother and sisters over there in the little village of Auchnacloy, then we do encourage you to do so. We come again then this evening, 6:30, for the season of prayer in the upper room. And then 7 p.m. We meet together here in the main building to worship the Lord once again. And we come to the end of chapter 27 in the book of Acts this evening. We're finally getting off the boat. We want to just consider briefly and over the top of the whole chapter, as it were, under the heading from shipwreck to safety, from shipwreck to safety. So do encourage and invite others to come along and be here as well yourself this evening. The services end throughout the week. Monday night, the children's meeting at 7 p.m. Continue to remember that work amongst the boys and girls in your prayers. And then Wednesday evening, we meet together for the Bible study and for prayer time at 8 p.m. And we commenced last Wednesday evening a study in the Epistle of 2 Peter. And we'll be continuing into that book then this Wednesday evening. Then on Friday, the Youth Fellowship meet again at 8 p.m. And young people, we look forward even to that time with each one on Friday evening. The service is next Sunday, the Sabbath School in the morning, 10:30. The regular times of worship, 11:30 and 7:00, with the times of prayer before both services, and I'll be here in the will of the Lord to conduct those meetings. Do make sure you've got your latest magazines and also the little missionary calendars in the front porch. There's still a number of copies left, and make sure you have them even as you go today. We still have plenty of the CDs left of Sam Houston, priced at £10. And do, if you'd like one, do put your name in the list. We have these in the pulpit with us. And we encourage you, if you'd like one, maybe as a gift or even for yourself, then do put your name in the list in the front porch. We continue to leave the minister's room. We mention it to you again for Let the Bible Speak, for donations towards their charity shops. If you have any items of clothing, toys, books, Bibles in good condition, you'd like to leave them in to be passed on to the two Let the Bible Speak charity shops, then please do bring them into the minister's room and leave them before the end of the month, please. And then one final announcement again, we remind you to continue to remember the mission in Cookstown in your prayers, and if you can get along and support our brother and sisters there Monday through to Friday when we don't have meetings on here in the church at 8 p.m. And pray much that the Lord will bless that mission and the Lord will visit that area in these days. Psalm 138, we'll sing together as we commence our worship unto the Lord. Psalm 138, the page is 128. Thee will I praise with all my heart. I will sing praise to thee before the gods and worship will toward thy sanctuary. Psalm 138, and we'll stand together as we sing, please. Let's still ourselves in God's presence. Every head and heart bowed before the Lord. Our Father in heaven, we bow afresh in thy presence. We thank thee, O God, that even though we are poor and needy, yet the Lord thinketh upon us. We thank thee, O God, that we're coming before a merciful and a compassionate God, one whose eye is upon the righteous, one whose ear is open unto their cry. We thank thee for the one at thy right hand who pleads for us, the one who never ceases to pray, the one who never ceases to mention us before his Father. We thank thee for the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank thee, O God, that this is his day. This is the Lord's day. This is the day that we rejoice and remember that Jesus Christ is alive, and that he is alive forevermore. We pray, O God, that thou wilt be near, that thou wilt bless. We pray, O God, that thou wilt encourage our hearts as we gather afresh to worship. May our hearts be touched and, O God, strengthen even our courage and our love in these days to remember afresh and to consider that Jesus Christ, who died for our sins, rose for our justification. We thank thee that his work upon the cross is finished. We thank thee, O God, that that sacrifice for sin was all that was needed to save us from all sin. We thank thee, O God, that his entering into heaven, his sitting at thy right hand. We thank thee, O God, for the promise that one day he will return. O God, we rejoice and we look forward even to that day, when that last trump shall sound, when the Lord shall gather even his people from this earth, and we shall be with him forever. Oh, Father, what a day that will be. Lord, we pray that even as we continue upon this earth, that we will have those expectant hearts, that we will have those longing hearts, that this world is not our home, but we're merely passing through. We're looking forward to that Beulah land. We're looking forward to that home with the Lord Jesus Christ forever. Oh, Father, bless us even as we are here today. Lord, encourage our hearts. May we lift up our voices in praise and adoration unto thee. May our hearts be full. May our love, O God, increase for thee. Lord, we're thankful for the love of God towards us. We're thankful for all of the mercies and for the grace of God in every situation. We thank thee for thy hand upon us another week. We thank thee, O God, for watching over us, for keeping us in safety, for meeting our every need, O God, and for undertaking in every circumstance. Lord, we pray that thou wilt bless us even as we are here now. We pray, O God, that thou wilt encourage our hearts, that thou wilt speak to us even for the week that lies ahead. O Father, thou art the one who knows all things. Thou art the one who knows exactly what will come in this week. O Father, we pray that thy grace will be sufficient. We pray that thou wilt be near to each one of us. We pray, O God, that thy presence will continue and be that reality to each one of thy children. Lord, encourage our hearts in these days. Encourage thy people. Encourage every family, undertake for every circumstance, every need that there is. Lord, remember those that are laid aside with sickness. O Father, we pray that thou wilt touch them. We pray, O God, that thou wilt raise them to strength once again, that thou wilt be unto them all that they would need. Lord, remember the elderly of our congregation. Father, I pray that thou wilt be very near and precious unto them. Remember those that can't join with us anymore. Lord, may thy presence be with them, and may thy presence fill that room where they are. Lord, we're thankful for our elderly that faithfully still do come. Lord, bless them and undertake for them every day. Bless our families. Bless our young people. Bless our children. Oh, Father, undertake in the school place for all of them. May they know that help each and every day. We thank thee for work even amongst the children this morning. We thank thee, O God, for the Sabbath school, for those children that were there, and for thy word as it was brought forth once again. Bless it to the hearts. Bless, O God, those children, those young people. If there be any outside of Christ, O God, save their precious souls. Those that are saved, enable them to grow. O Father, strengthen them. Give them deep roots in the Scriptures. Give them deep roots in the things of God. O bless, we pray thee. Lord, undertake for us in this service. Oh, how much we need thy presence. How much we need that help from on high. How much we need, O God, that power of the Holy Ghost. O Father, may it be so in the reading of Thy Word. May it be so in the singing of Thy praise. May it be so in the preaching. O God, give us a time in this house, a special time. A time, O God, when Thou dost draw near, when Thy glory filleth this house. O Father, hear and answer prayer. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. 304, the hymn 304, the page is 299. We are never, never weary of the grand old song, Glory to God, Hallelujah. We can sing it loud as ever with our faith more strong, Glory to God, Hallelujah. And we'll stand and let's sing out unto the Lord this morning. Let's stand as we sing. Amen. Let's turn to the book of Proverbs as we continue to read it together as a congregation. Proverbs chapter 9. Proverbs Proverbs chapter 9, we'll read the opening half of this chapter together, from verse 1 down to the end of verse 9. Proverbs 9 and the verse 1. Wisdom hath builded her house, she hath hewn out her seven pillars. She hath killed her beasts, she hath mingled her wine, she hath also furnished her table. She hath sent forth her maidens, she crieth unto or upon the highest places of the city. Whoso is simple, let him turn in hither. As for him that wanteth understanding, she saith to him, come and eat of my bread and drink of the wine which I have mingled. Forsake the foolish and live, and go in the way of understanding. He that reproveth a scorner getteth to himself shame, and he that rebuketh a wicked man getteth himself a blot. Reprove not a scorner, lest he hate thee. Rebuke a wise man, and he will love thee. Give instruction to a wise man, and he will be yet wiser. Teach a just man, and he will increase in learning. Amen. May the Lord bless the reading of his word to our hearts this morning. We're going to lift our tithes and offerings at this point. We're going to sing together the words of hymn 266. The hymn 266. I will sing of my Redeemer and his wondrous love to me on the cruel cross he suffered from the curse to set me free. We remain seated for the opening part as the tithes and offerings are lifted, please. Let's stand for verse 4, please.
Thank you.
invite you to open your Bible in the book of Song of Solomon. The book of Song of Solomon. If you either find a Zion, go back one, or you find Psalms and go forward, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, Song of Solomon. This morning we're commencing a new series in this book, the Song of Songs. And this morning we want to give an introduction just to this book. So we're just going to read together the opening verse of chapter 1. Where it simply says, the Song of Songs, which is Solomon's. The Song of Songs, which is Solomon's. Let's just still ourselves and our hearts afresh. Heavenly Father, we thank Thee, O God, for the opportunity that we have had today to sing. To sing of our Redeemer. O God, we thank Thee for the song that we have in our hearts. The song that Thou hast given to us. As we come around this wonderful book, both today and in the days to come, God, we pray for Thy blessing. We pray for that help to be given to us, even as we study this book together. That Thou wilt teach us from it, that Thou wilt challenge us from it. God, if we are convicted, God, that Thou wilt change us. We pray for Thy people. Lord, may we be challenged even through the love that the bride has for her groom. May we be challenged even in our relation to our love for Christ. For the unsaved, O God, we pray Thee that Thou wilt work within them, that Thou wilt convict them of their sin, that Thou wilt reveal the love of God to them. O Father, do a work, we pray Thee, both today and in the days ahead. Fill us with Thy Spirit. Give us that help to preach. Give that help to receive, to listen, to take heed. And, O God, apply Thy word to every heart. Hear and answer prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. When you come to the Scriptures, there are a certain number of divisions that are evident whenever you go through both Old and New Testament Scriptures. If you were to look at the Old Testament Scriptures, you would see that there are four sections or four divisions within the Old Testament. The opening five books of the Old Testament Scriptures are known as the books of Moses or the books of the Pentateuch. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. Then from Joshua right through to the end of the book of Esther, you have the books of history, detailing how the children of Israel came into the promised land and how they took over it, detailing the time of the judges, the time of the kings, and then the time of captivity. Then from Job to Song of Solomon, you have the five books of poetry. You have Job, Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, and you have Song of Solomon. Then to finish off the Old Testament, you have the books of the prophets, both the major and the minor prophets, 17 books in total. When you come into the New Testament, then you will find there's only three divisions. There are the four Gospels. There is then the standalone book of Acts. So whenever we come to the end of the book of Acts, you can say, well, we've studied an entire section of Scripture. And then you have, of course, all of the epistles. The writings of Paul to the churches, of Peter, of James, of John, and of Jude. So all in all, in the whole Scriptures, you have seven sections. Four in the Old and three in the New Testament. And it's important to highlight those four sections in the Old, both the Pentateuch, the writings of Moses, and the books of history, the books of poetry, and the books of the prophets. Whilst Christ does not quote from every single book, Christ does quote from every single section. If you go through the Gospels and you go through all of the words of the Lord Jesus Christ, He will speak from, He will quote from, and He will reference all of the different sections that are found within the Old Testament. What does that mean? That means that every section has the seal and the blessing of God upon it. Every single section, both the law, the history, the poetry, and the prophets, all of it God has blessed and set His seal upon because Christ spoke the words. The Song of Solomon is the fifth and the final book of poetry. And certainly as you come to this book and as you read it, there are many interesting, I believe, noteworthy points which ought to be considered. This is a book which must be highlighted right from the outset. This is a book which is not simply about a human relationship. There are individuals who will come to the book of Song of Solomon and they will just see a man and a woman and they will see it through the human glasses, as it were, the human eyes, and they will say this is just simply about a man and a woman in a normal relationship. This is not what this book is about. This book, the Song of Solomon, is about the union between Christ and His church. Each one who is saved, we are the bride of the bridegroom. Whenever you go through these verses and you see the bride speaking, that is the church of Jesus Christ. That are those ones who have been redeemed and have been purchased by Christ. The bridegroom is Christ. The bride is His church. Warren Wiersbe, famous Bible commentator, recently passed away. He's remembered particularly for what became known as the B series. He would take a book of the Bible and he would write a commentary on that book, and then he would put a title on it, B, and then a word following, which would be attributed to that book. For example, whenever he wrote his commentary in the book of Joshua, he called it B strong. When he wrote his commentary in the book of Exodus, he had B delivered. Whenever he wrote Daniel, he had the words B resolute. Someone on one occasion asked him, well, what would you call the book of Song of Solomon? And he thought about it for a moment and then he smiled and he very simply said, be careful. That's good advice when you come to the book of Song of Solomon. Those are wise words to consider as you enter into this book. Be careful how you read it. Be careful how you understand it. Be careful what you take from it. This morning I want to simply highlight three things to you to introduce this book in our time that remains together. Firstly, I want you to see that it is a song. It is a song. In verse 1 it says, the Song of Songs, which is Solomon's. Singing has always been something which is very special. Indeed, research has shown that singing and songs have positive impacts and positive benefits for those who partake. Singing can enhance and lift your mood. If you're particularly down in the dumps, you're particularly feeling down and discouraged, singing can actually lift you, can bring you back up again. Singing has been shown to relieve stress. Singing has been shown to bring encouragement. It's even been shown to improve your memory. I'm not going to look at anyone in particular, but if you're feeling that you can't remember everything, start and sing it to yourself. Singing also helps people not only with stutters. Anybody that has a stutter, whenever they sing, more than likely they won't stutter when they're singing. Also people who are dyslexic. Some people struggle and fall and trip over the words and can't understand the words. If they sing the words, they can sing it perfectly. It's amazing all of the various impacts and not that which is good, even for the individual in relation to song. And singing has always been a means of celebration. Whenever there has been joy, when there's been something to celebrate, more than likely there have been songs attributed and there have been songs that have been sang. You think of the Israelites when they crossed the Red Sea. Because singing to the Israelites was part of their identity. Singing to the Israelites was part of their culture. We have different ways of showing forth our culture. To the Israelites, singing was part of their culture. Whenever the Israelites crossed the Red Sea and the water came down upon the Egyptians and the Israelites were all spared, it tells us, Exodus 15 in the verse 1, that then sang Moses and the children of Israel this song unto the Lord, and they spake, saying, I will sing unto the Lord, for He hath triumphed gloriously. Verse 2, it says, the Lord is my strength and my song. In other words, you can have one of the titles of Jehovah, Jehovah Simroth, the Lord my song. You think as well in the book of Judges when the Israelites defeated the Canaanites in the days of Deborah and Barak. It tells us in Judges chapter 5 in the verse 1, then sang Deborah and Barak. Just an interesting note, brethren, for the ones who are in the leadership of the church. Did you notice it's always the leaders that are commencing the songs? Don't want to discourage the members of session, but there's the leaders of the people. Moses, Deborah, and Barak are the ones who are leading the singing. You think of how many of David's writings are songs, the book of Psalms. Then you think of Solomon himself. 1 Kings 4, the verse 32 tells us, King Solomon himself wrote 1,005 songs. Singing was part of the identity of every Israelite. You think of that time whenever they were in captivity and they hung their harps up in the branches. The Babylonians are saying to them, sing us a song. And they're like, how can we sing? Because they're in captivity. Even the Babylonians knew singing's part of who you are. And let me say, singing is part of who every Christian is. Singing is part of the identity of a Christian. Singing is part of who we are. Whenever you think of the Lord, the salvation and how the Lord describes it, even through the book of Psalms, it says he has plucked us up out of the miry clay, set our feet upon a rock, he's established our goings, and he hath put a new song in our mouths, even praise unto the Lord. We sang the hymn earlier, didn't we? The children of the Lord have the right to shout and to sing. Singing is part of the identity of a Christian. If you're saved, you ought to be singing. If you've been redeemed by the blood of Christ, you ought to be singing. You ought to be singing with joy in the church. You ought to be singing and even lifting your voice. You ought to be singing in the car. Sing at home. Sing in the shower. Sing everywhere you go. There ought to be joy. There ought to be singing. And even if you have to be quiet in the workplace because of the job you undertake, well, you can still be singing in your mind and in your heart. And I know there are those that say, I can't sing. Well, I can't sing. You know I can't sing because I have to stand up here every Sunday. But there are many people who will say, oh, I can't sing. And so they keep their voice down and they mumble along and they barely open or move their lips. Young people and old people alike, they'll say, oh, I can't sing. And those that know their Bible will say, well, doesn't the Lord say, make a joyful noise unto the Lord? And some people might even be able to quote exactly and tell you the psalm and the verse. Psalm 98, the verse 4. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord. I can't make a joyful noise, therefore I will be quiet. Just to encourage you. Whenever it says there, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, the Hebrew word for joyful noise is ruah. It's used 45 times in Scripture. Only 7 times does it mean joyful noise. The rest of the times is either crying or shouting. So if you feel that your singing's more like crying, the Lord still is telling you to make that noise unto the Lord. Not to sit in silence or not to stand in silence whenever we stand to sing, but rather if you're saved, you have the right to sing. And the Lord is looking for you to lift your voice and to sing unto Him and to even lift and to praise Him. The Song of Solomon is a song. It's Solomon singing. Secondly, not only is it a song, but verse 1, the Song of Solomon is special. It tells us here in the verse 1, it says, the Song of Songs, which is Solomon's. As I mentioned earlier, Solomon wrote a total of 1,005 songs. That's what Scripture tells us. 1,005 songs, and yet there is only one song of his recorded in Scripture. And there's only one song out of all 1,005 is kept for all eternity. This is not only Solomon's greatest song, but I put it to you this morning, this is the greatest song that has ever been penned. This is the Song of Songs. This song is better than Moses' song when they got past the Egyptians at the Red Sea. This song is better than Deborah and Barak's song. This song is better even than the angels whenever they sang to the shepherds outside of Bethlehem. This song is better than the song that Mary and Elizabeth sang to each other whenever they met, whenever they were both pregnant. This is the greatest song that has ever been penned. It's greater than all of the hymns, and there are some fantastic hymns. You think of the wonderful hymns within our hymn book, "When I Survey the Wondrous Cross." And yet this song, Scripture says, is the song of songs. This book is special. It's recorded by many and regarded by many as being the most remarkable book in all of Scripture. And yet nowhere else in Scripture will you find anyone quoting from this book. It's regarded as being the most remarkable book in all of Scripture, and yet it never mentions the name of God. Isn't that amazing? Nowhere will you find God's name in this book. Yet Martin Luther called this the high song. C.H. Spurgeon, he said, "This book stands like the tree of life in the midst of the garden. No man shall ever be able to pluck its fruit and to eat thereof until first he has been brought by Christ to rejoice in the love which hath delivered him from death." John Gill, the commentator, he says, "There is no case, no circumstance, no spiritual condition that we may be in regarding our relationship to Christ which is not expressed in this sacred song of love." This book is special. This book is the very highest of peaks and the very greatest of places. The late Brian Greene, some of the older generation might remember him from coming over to the Easter Convention and the martyrs every year. Good friend of Dr. Paisley's who preached over in London for many years, Brian Greene wrote a commentary on Song of Solomon. And he actually brought all three of the books of Solomon together, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, and Song of Solomon, and he likened the three of them to the tabernacle of the Old Testament. He says Ecclesiastes shows to us the outer court of the tabernacle because it shows us man's activity in this life. The book of Proverbs takes us to the holy place where it shows us God's true wisdom. But he says the Song of Songs takes us into the very Holy of Holies because it's in the Song of Songs and the Holy of Holies that we have the place of union and the place of communion with God. This Song of Songs is special. Let me encourage you each week as we come around the book to consider this. May we come with reverence. Just to use that picture again, if you think of the Holy of Holies, you think of how the high priest would prepare himself, even to come around or to go into that place and to offer that sacrifice. There was preparation of heart, there was preparation of body, there was preparation of person before he ever entered. Child of God, whenever we come near the Word of God, may we ever prepare ourselves. May there be that readying of self and that reverence given, even as we approach the book. The book of Song of Solomon is a song. The book of Song of Solomon is special. But thirdly and finally this morning, I want you to consider with me its sentiment. It's sentiment. The verse 2 says, "Let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth, for thy love is better than wine." And the great theme, the great emotion, or the great sentiment of this book is love. Love. One of the hardest parts of this book going to be to you to recognize who's speaking when. There's actually five different speakers as you go through this book. There's a Shulamite bride, there's a bridegroom, there's daughters of Jerusalem, there's an unnamed relative of the bride, and there's also then finally the brothers of the bride. Those last three individuals or last three groupings only speak very, very briefly in one chapter. Over and above, by far, overwhelmingly so, it is the bride and it is the groom who is speaking. And it is their version, as it were, it's bringing to the fore how they're feeling, their love one for the other, their desire one for the other, their love and how it strengthens them, how it moves them. That's what we're going to see together as we go through this book. It's going to be the love of the bride, but the love of the groom. You know, that's going to challenge us, I trust. Because when you read together with me and we go through the verses and the chapters to come of how the bride describes her love for her bridegroom. In other words, how the church should love Christ. I trust it will challenge us. I trust it will make us to look at ourselves, to examine ourselves, and to ask the question, do I love my Savior the way that the bride loves her groom? Now, it's interesting to note, certain of the Old Testament books are read every year by the Jews at certain feasts and celebrations. The book of Jonah is read every year at Yom Kippur. It's a day of atonement. The book of Ruth is read every year at Pentecost. Ecclesiastes is read every year at the Feast of the Tabernacles. Esther is read at Purim. There's a particular feast in the Song of Solomon's read. I don't believe the Jews realize how special it is or what they're doing. The Song of Solomon is read every year at Passover. Passover to the Israelites, of course, and to the Jews today, is remembering how that they put the blood upon the lintels of the door when the angel of death came in the 10th plague down in Egypt. But of course, what is Passover? Passover is when Jesus Christ died. Passover is when our Paschal Lamb gave his life for our sins. And every year, at Passover for the Jews, the Israelites will open the book of Song of Solomon and they will read of the love between the groom and the bride. At the exact time when the Lord Jesus Christ hung upon a cross for you and for I. That day, Jesus shed his blood. Yes, he atoned for the wrath, or he atoned for the sins of his people. He underwent the wrath of God. But the cross is also the greatest demonstration of God's love for his people. Because God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. I find it remarkable that this book, this song that is so full of love, is read every year. At that time, we know as Easter. They know it as Passover, we know it as Easter, when Christ died for you and for I. We're going to go through these verses and these chapters together over the weeks to come. I trust one thing you'll see time and again as we go through it is the intensity of the love. I trust it will strike home to your heart just how much the Lord Jesus Christ loves you, even through the words of this book. Sometimes it's so easy just to pan over it and to go over and say, oh, yes, God loves me. But to really dig into it and just to see how much the Son of God loves you. How much he longs for his people. How he will come bounding over the hills to have his bride. I trust you'll see as well how much the bride loves her husband. How much she yearns for him. How much she looks for him. How much she can't do without him. And I trust it'll challenge us. I trust it'll intensify our love for our Savior. That whenever we come even to the end of this little study in this book, that you can say, I love him more than I've ever done before. But let me ask something just as we close. Right from the outset, I want to ask this. Do you love the Lord Jesus Christ? And have you ever experienced his love? Do you love Jesus? Can you say today, I love him because he first loved me? Can you say, I've experienced the love? I've experienced what Christ has done for me and what Christ continues to do for me. I know he loves me. You say that in your heart today. You say today that you love the Lord with all your heart, your soul, and your strength. This book is a song. This book is special. And I trust we will all see the love of Jesus. May the Lord bless his word to our hearts today. Let's just unite together in prayer. Heavenly Father, we bow before thee. We thank thee, O God, for the love of the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank thee for the one who gave himself for us. O God, we thank thee even for this book that we are entering into, consider and to study together. We pray that over the weeks to come that we will see more and more of the love of Jesus. That over the weeks to come that we will see more and more of what the love of the bride, the church, ought to be. O Father, that we will have that love in our hearts. We pray that thou wilt bless what we have considered even this morning, that thou wilt bless it to every heart. We pray, O God, if there be one out of Christ that has never experienced that love of God, that today will be that day when they come and they taste and they see that the Lord is good. O Father, write thy word upon our hearts. Bless us now as we separate one from the other. Take us to our homes in safety. We pray that thou wilt bring us again this night. Thou wilt, O God, bring others with us. Give us a blessed night in thy house. In Jesus' name, amen.